I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to go way back in history, back into the time of the book of Kings. 1 Kings chapter 14. And as for a title to this sermon, I guess you could call it, "That Was Then, This Is Now." Or maybe you might want to call it "Every Now and Then." Depends on how you look at it. 1 Kings, chapter 14. Starting at verse 22. It says, "And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed, above all that their fathers had done," which was quite a bit. That's a lot of sin. And I can believe that he was probably very upset with them. "For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." That is a lot of sin. The people that were cast out before the house of Israel came in control of the promised land, the Canaanite people, they worshiped Baal, they worshiped Ashtaroth, they worshiped a whole bunch of different false gods. They passed their newborn babies through the fire and sacrificed them. Anything you wanted to do, as long as it made you happy, was okay. Sodomites were abundant in the land. They even had their own building connected to the temple right next door so that the priests could just go right back home into their temple or into their house full of sodomites. It was anything goes, and anything that made you happy was okay, and you worshiped all kinds of weird, strange stuff. It was pretty evil. And God had cast out the Canaanites for doing the exact same thing in the land of Israel, the promised land. And he told the house of Israel, "You do these things, I'll cast you out too." That was a long, long time ago. But that was back then, and this is now, right? Yeah. You know, I'm going to be 59 on Wednesday. I was born in 1960 on October 30th. When I was born, the Vietnam War had just gotten underway. My dad had been over there in Laos, in the jungles of Laos and Thailand and Cambodia, with his 12-man Special Forces team for several years before the war broke out officially. My sister and I were born in Okinawa. My oldest sister, Robin, and I were born in Okinawa. She was born in 59. I was born in 60. Danielle was born in 1963 in North Carolina at Fort Bragg, the headquarters of Special Forces. And my other sister, the youngest one, Michelle, she was born in 66, 67? Yeah, 1967. Okay, so we grew up in the 60s. I remember when I was from like 6 years old to 10 years old, we lived up in Montana, and our friends were the neighbor kids up the hill, either the Knoffels, which lived way up the hill on the mountainside, or when we moved to town, it was the Kuntzes. That lived up the hill. And their families became friends with our families, and my mom would become friends with their moms, And they would get together during the week after they got all their chores done and the grocery shopping and stuff. And we'd either go to their house or they'd come over to our house. And our moms would play cards in the afternoon while us kids played. And then they'd watch their soap operas. And we would watch their soap operas with them. And it was a lot of strange things going on in the soap operas that I didn't understand. But I remember for years watching these soap operas with my mom and Anita Kuntz and the kids. And they talked about things like, oh, it was terrible because this one girl had to go get an abortion in a dark alley by a doctor in a back room. Had no idea what it was, what it meant, but I understand that it was dangerous and it was dark and sinister. And it was just an awful thing that she had to suffer through that instead of just being able to walk through the front door. That was on the soap opera. Okay, that was back in the 60s that they started putting this on TV, saying it was horrible that they had to do this in secret. We moved down here in 1973, I believe. And from that time up in Montana, all the way through, we were in that Vietnam War. And I remember seeing it on the news every night. The reporters would be over there in Vietnam, and you could see the napalm going off behind them and the bombs and stuff exploding, and they would show the soldiers being carried away from the battlefield on stretchers, and they would show these guys doing their reporting with their helmets on and their microphone and ducking into the trenches and into the foxholes and stuff. So that's what I grew up with. My dad, like I said, was in special forces. They tried to get him to join the CIA. He almost did. They have, my mom and dad have these photos of them. My dad's in a suit and he's standing there, all prim and proper, looking straight ahead. Nice looking suit, nice looking man. My mom's in another photo by herself in this nice dress, standing there all prim and proper, all done up and everything. And my sister Danielle had, I think she still has them in frames on her table or stand. And she didn't realize it, but those were my mom and dad's CIA photos for identification. That's how close they came to be in the CIA. So we grew up with a lot of stuff going on in our household and a lot of things that most kids didn't experience. My dad's hero, just like any other member of the Special Forces, was John F. Kennedy. And I remember when he got killed, that was a horrible time in our family and in the people around us that we associated with. It was just a horrible, horrible time. And a lot of secrecy, a lot of espionage type stuff going on. And it was oppressive. I remember for years, from like when I was 5 till about 10, having nightmares of being on this hill and there were flowers and grass and everything, and there would be a little blonde girl on the hill with me and we would be picking flowers. And then coming up all the sides of the hill would be these men in these long dark coats and hats. And all they wanted to do was destroy all of the flowers and the grass and the little blonde girl and myself on the hill. I never understood why I had that nightmare until I was older and realized it was the stuff that was going on around us in my childhood that was being represented in my dreams of the espionage and the oppression and the fighting and stuff. So then we moved here. We were living up in Montana after my dad got out of the service, and then we moved back down here in 1973. I remember that year. It was, a very different year for me. The Vietnam War ended. And things got kind of strange. I remember up in Montana before we moved, hearing the kids on the bus and everything talk about some of the high school kids had OD'd on acid. I didn't know what that was, but I knew it had to be something bad because they ended up going to the hospital. I remember seeing the pictures on the news of the hippie movement in California and the riots at the colleges and the students being shot at the colleges by American military men. I remember watching Bobby Kennedy get assassinated on the news. Those were the things that were happening in my childhood. And I didn't understand why. Then we moved down here and things progressed and we celebrated our 200th year bicentennial celebration of the founding of the United States. That was in 1976. It was a big deal. Jimmy Carter got elected to the presidency, and America was very happy with itself. I didn't know a lot of what was going on. I just knew it was a big deal and a lot of celebration, and there were flags everywhere. I turned 16 that fall. Then I remember 1980. We were living here, and the thing that I remember most about 1980 was it was so hot. You guys remember that? I mean, it was hot. It said that the weather from June to September, the temperature in Kansas City never dropped below 90 degrees. From June all the way through September, it was in the 90s at least every day. That was a record. But there was a part in there where it was over 100 degrees for weeks at a time. Day and night, just blistering hot. I was 20 years old. I had been working for a survey company. And we started working that spring out at Quivira Road and Shawnee Mission Parkway. We were going to survey a great big shopping center strip area that was being put in this big field. And so we started there in the spring, and it was all green and lush, and it was nice, and we'd get out there and we'd survey the whole area, and we shot all the elevations and stuff and did everything we needed to do and got everything staked out, and we left. Then they came in with all the belly scrapers and bulldozers and earth movers and dump trucks and stuff, and they wiped that whole hillside away, got rid of all the grass, and called us back and said, okay, come back and start staking out the shopping center. We got it ready for you. We showed up, and it had gotten hot. It had gotten so hot that when that first day we got there, we're looking there, and that whole grassy pasture, hill, and everything was gone, and there was nothing but this big, flat, open clay area. And we got our transit out, and we got our stuff out, and I was the lead man on the chain, so I would take the stakes and the sledgehammer and the chain, and I would run out 100 feet, whatever direction the crew chief told me to go, and he would sight in through the transit, and I'd be holding my plumb bob and the chain tight and everything, and the other guy down there on the end of the line holding the chain tight at his end, and I'm holding the plumb bob, and the guy in the chief party crew chief goes, where are you? I said, I'm right here, right at the end of the chain. He goes, well, I can see you when I don't look through the scope, but when I look through the scope, I can't see nothing. He goes, all I can see is shimmery. heat waves. He said, come back 50 feet. So I came back in to 50 feet. He still couldn't see me. I had to come back in to 25 feet. I was only 25 feet away. It's like from me to Pat. That's the as far as I could go for him to be able to see me through the telescope. Now, that telescope, you could look at the moon. That's how hot it was. Everything was distorted. So I came back into 25 feet, and I got the plumb bob, and I dropped it where he said I was online, and got ready to go, and it hit the ground and went dink, made a little mark, and fell over. Usually it would go and go right into the dirt. No, it had basically become a whole entire field of ceramic clay. And he said, well, go get the pick out of the truck and get rid of that layer on the top and we'll start over. So I did, went down about this far before we could get to something that you could actually drop the plumb bob into. Got it, dropped the plumb bob into the ground, took out the first stake, took my sledgehammer that I had, tapped it a little bit. It didn't make a dent. Tapped it a little bit harder. Told one of the guys, come here and hold this so I can hit it. One of the other guys came over and held the stake, and I backed up with the sledgehammer and took a whack at it, and the stake just went psh, splintered. So then we had to take the pick and make a hole. It was that hot that summer. And that's what we did all summer long. We picked little holes in the ground and drove stakes and watched them shatter and drove another one. And finally we'd get them in there enough to where it didn't splinter out the top and we could actually put a nail in the top and actually pinpoint where they were supposed to put the corner of the building. I'm telling you all of these things because when I was a kid, things started to change in the United States. Nowadays, it's common, but back when I was a kid, it was not common. Abortion was against the law when I was born. It was against the law. Homosexuality was against the law. Drugs were against the law. All of these things that people wanted to do, they had to break the law to do them. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 8. Starting at verse 5. The Lord spake also unto me again, saying, for as much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloh that go softly, and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son. For as much as this people refuse to go down into the water and cleanse themselves before they go into the temple to perform the sacrifices that I've commanded them to do, and then choose instead to rejoice in the king of Assyria and his gods. That's what he's telling them. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together and it shall come to naught. Speak the word and it shall not stand. For God is with us. They were making confederacies with the king of Assyria. They were rejoicing in this king of Assyria and they were worshiping the gods of Assyria there in Judah and in Samaria. And God told them, go ahead. You want to do that? You want to refuse to do what I've commanded you to do? You refuse to clean up before you come into the temple to make the sacrifices? That's what you want? Go ahead. I will allow the king of Assyria to come in and destroy you. The wicked shall destroy the wicked. You think you've got a confederacy with him? You think that in God we trust is going to save you? Or for God is with us is going to stop it? It's not going to. You know, that's the motto of the United States. In God we trust. You think that's going to stop it from happening? I don't think so. Isaiah, the 9th chapter. And this was happening at the same time. The stuff back there in 1 Kings and the stuff in here in Isaiah, it's the same stuff that was going on. Chapter 9. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel, and all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush, in one day. Because of the sins and the wickedness that they were doing. You know, I turned 21 the year that I went to college, back in 1981. And when I went to KU, I'd never met a homosexual person in my life that I knew of. But while I was at KU, I got a job at a Perkins restaurant there in Lawrence, Kansas. And one day I was there at work, and the waitresses were there, and they were all excited, and they were just talking this one day and everything, and they were saying, we convinced him, oh, it's so cool, this is wonderful. And I said, you convinced who? And they said the name of one of the male waitresses there. I said, well, what did you convince him of? They said, we convinced him to come out of the closet. I said, what is that? And they said, well, don't you know he's gay? I said, no, I did not know. Why did you tell him to come out of the closet? And they said, oh, because he needed to. Because it's okay. It wasn't okay. Do you know what happened in the United States in 1973? Anybody? What happened to the United States in 1973? First time it had ever happened in our history. Glenn? Roe versus Wade, yes. But what happened to the United States? We lost our first war. First time ever the United States lost a war, 1973. That was the Vietnam War. And Uncle Glenn just said it. We also passed the law and had the Supreme Court hearing Roe versus Wade and decided as a nation that it was okay to kill our unborn babies. That was 1973. And they passed their babies through the fire and they worshiped their God, Baal. Do you know what happened in the United States in 1980 besides the heat wave? I'll tell you. Well, it was over 100 degrees day and night for a long stretch. We had the worst heat wave and drought in the United States history up to that point in time. And it still is a record holder, by the way, in a lot of parts of the United States. Okay, just from the heat wave alone, the increase in death for the month of July in Kansas City, just from any kind of death, our death rate in Kansas City went up 64% that month in July. 64% increase in death, and it was all from the heat. There was, on the West Coast, up until 1980, we had not experienced a lot of big fires yearly. But from 1980 on, big fires started happening on the West Coast, from the north to the south, and across the rest of the United States, big fires started happening. It was an increase from the 70s and 80s, and then the 80s forward, it increased anywhere from 500 to 1,200%, depending on the year. Big fires. They had, that year in the United States, they had two big, strong wind events. They called them derechos, and it would flatten trees for miles. Two of the biggest ones, one started in eastern Nebraska, and in 15 hours it was in Virginia, and it was flattening trees the entire time. Just one big strong wind. It happened twice that summer. There were more earthquakes recorded that year than there had ever been previously. That winter, we'd had the worst blizzard in the United States that we had ever experienced. We had more tornadoes that year. We also had more floods that year than we'd ever experienced, along with the drought and the heat wave. That year, we had 9 hurricanes hit the United States. That had never happened before. There were over, and this is what really gets me, there were over 10,000 American people who died that year from the weather. And it cost the United States over $21 billion in damage. That's several hundred billion dollars worth of damage in today's money, just in case you're wondering. So what happened in 1980? You know, Mount St. Helens blew up. That had never happened before in the history of the United States. A volcano blowing up on the continental United States. It wiped out our communication systems for a while. It completely halted our travel, air travel systems for a while. It messed up our crops. It did a lot of damage. You know, this was 40 years ago. But what caused it? Was it us? mankind? Were we responsible? Was it our pollution? Was it our cars? Was it our oil wells? Was it our mines? Was it, you know, what caused it? I'm going to tell you something that happened in 1979. In 1979, they had a gay rights parade in the city of Philadelphia. The next year, they decided to move it to the capital of the United States, Washington, D.C., 1980, July the 4th. Yeah, it had been 4 years since our bicentennial. While they were there, the organizers of the parade told all of the participants, while you're here in town, we want you to go to the office of every representative and senator in the United States Congress and just bombard them, demanding that they start changing the laws regarding homosexuality. That year, they got 239 congressmen to start changing the laws regarding homosexuality. And that year, all of this stuff happened that had never happened before. Now that's just two sins, abortion and homosexuality. But we are doing all kinds of things nowadays that everybody is saying, oh, it's not a sin anymore. It's okay. You can do anything you want, basically, and it's going to be okay. 40 years ago, these things happened to the United States, and nobody said anything about this was an act of God, a retribution, or punishment of any sort on the news. They never said anything like that. But it does say it here in this book. You know, he tells us, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when I tell you to do something, I expect you to do it. If you don't do what I've told you to do, you're going to suffer the consequences. And if you repent, I'll forgive you. But it doesn't mean the consequences are going to go away immediately. Turn to Matthew, the 24th chapter of Matthew. Leslie read this to us last Sunday morning. We're going to go over it again. I'm going to read 3 through 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? That's a good question. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in the Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake. Those days shall be shortened. Okay. So has some of that stuff happened? Yep. Some of it still need to happen? Yep. When's it going to happen? I don't know. Do I feel like it's coming close? I'm not sure what it's going to be like living in the United States in 40 years. But I know that a week ago, one of the candidates that's running for president of the United States, his name is Beto, said that if he gets to be elected president of the United States, he is immediately going to place in effect a law stating that any hospital, charitable organization, or church that refuses to perform services for the homosexual committee or community, thank you, for the homosexual community will have their tax exempt status revoked immediately. So if you don't do what they want you to do and say it's okay to be gay, they're going to revoke your tax exempt status if that man becomes elected president. A lot of the other people who are running for office of the President of the United States feel the same way. Okay, 1920 is the year that it's going to happen. That's 40 years after 2020 is the year that this election is going to take place. That will be 40 years since 1980. I don't want to see what it's going to be like 40 years after that. Because back in 1980, I'd never met anybody like that. And now, it's everywhere. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You know, I didn't want him as my president, but I really didn't want any of the Democratic people as my president. But I'm sorry, our president fits this description right here. Okay? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, oh, I'm a Christian, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, not able to have any sort of understanding concerning the truth, reprobate concerning faith. They don't have a clue what true faith is, even though they claim that they're Christian. That's what it says is going to be like in the last days. Turn to the book of Moroni, chapter 10. And we're almost done. Verse 13. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. That's when they will be done away. Has it happened yet? No, we still believe. We still have faith. Is it getting close? Yep. Wherefore, there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there must also be hope, and if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith. Neither can ye if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, you must needs be in despair, and despair cometh because of iniquity. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. Now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And woe be unto the children of men, if this be the case, for there shall be none that doeth good among you, no, not one. For if there be one among you that doeth good, he shall work by the power and gifts of God. And there's still more than one that doeth good among the children of men. I know a whole group of people that are doing good among the children of men. They pray, they believe, they encourage, they set a good example for all the people that they meet during the day, during the week. Not just the people here in this building, but for everyone that they meet. There's still people that believe. But it's becoming less and less. And I exhort you to remember these things. Oh, sorry, verse 21. And woe unto them which shall do these things away and die. For they die in their sins, and they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And I speak it according to the words of Christ, and I lie not. It's true. If you deny all of these things that it says God is willing to do for those who believe, and you commit all of these sins and you die in these sins, it's not going to be good. You will not end up in heaven. No matter what the world tells you, he will not allow you to stay in his kingdom if you die in your sins. Committing sin is an earthly human thing. You do it here. Here is where you have to repent. You can't think that you can go to heaven and become a spiritual being and repent in heaven of a human earthly sin. It isn't going to work. You have to repent of your sins while you're still here on earth as a human being, because you can't do it there. It doesn't work. That's why the angels that followed Satan aren't going to be able to make it. Because you can't repent there. And I exhort you to remember these things, for the time speedily cometh that ye shall know that I lie not. For ye shall see me at the bar of God, and the Lord God will say unto you, Did I not declare my words unto you, which were written by this man, like as one crying from the dead? Didn't I tell you? He's going to say, I know I told you. You just didn't want to listen. Yea, even as one speaking out of the dust, I declare these things unto the fulfilling of the prophecies. And behold, they shall proceed forth out of the mouth of the everlasting God, and his word shall hiss forth from generation to generation. And God shall shew unto you that that which I have written is true. You'll see. And again, I would exhort you that ye would come unto Christ. Give up your sins. Just give them up here. And lay hold upon every good gift, and touch not the evil gift nor the unclean thing. And awake and arise from the dust, O daughter of Zion. That's us. We're the daughter of Zion. Wake up. Get up out of the filth and the dirt. And put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion, and strengthen thy stakes, and enlarge thy borders forever, that thou mayest no more be confounded, that the covenants of the eternal God, which he hath made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Yea, come unto Christ, and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. And then he tells us goodbye. Last thing I'm going to read, second chapter of Helaman. Okay, right there. Verse 71 is where I'm going to start. Darren almost read this morning, but that's okay. I'm going to read a little bit of what he read also. Starting at verse 71, Helaman tells us, actually this is Abinadi speaking to us, and he says, Oh, remember, remember, my sons, the words which King Benjamin spake unto his people. Yea, remember that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, which shall come. Yea, remember that he cometh to redeem the world. And remember also the words which Amulek spake unto Zizram in the city of Ammonihah. For he said unto him that the Lord surely should come to redeem his people. But that he should not come to redeem them in their sins, but to redeem them from their sins. Do you understand that? You can't sin and be redeemed. You have to give it up. He's not going to save you in your sins and tell you it's all okay. Do whatever you want. You're all going to make it because I love you all the same. No. You have to get out of your sins and be redeemed. And he hath power given unto him from the Father to redeem them from their sins because of repentance. Repentance. I don't want to sin anymore. I'm sorry that I did sin, but I don't ever want to do it again because I don't want to die in hell for eternity because of my sins. I change the way I think of my sins, and I no longer want to do it. Repent. That's the definition. Therefore, he has sent his angels to declare the tidings of the conditions. There are conditions, rules, things that you have to cross off to repent. Conditions of repentance, which bringeth unto the power of the Redeemer unto the salvation of their souls. You got to do it what it says in order to be redeemed and have remission of your sins and be saved. And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, which is Christ, the Son of God, that you must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, and it's coming, whether it's coming for me before it comes for you, or you before me, or all of us together at the same time, it's going to happen. Oh, man, and I don't want to be here when it happens. Because I've seen what it's been like for the past 40 years, and I don't want to see what it's going to be like when this happens. Oh. Yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock which ye are built, because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon if men build, they cannot fall. We all have a chance. Even those people who go to the parades in Washington, D.C., even all those people who are running for office that are completely way off base as to what it says in these books, they all have a chance. They can repent just like we can repent. They can build upon that sure foundation just like us. They can be redeemed from their sins, but not in their sins, just like us. Okay? So when you go out and you see them and all the stuff that you have to deal with on a day-by-day basis in the next coming weeks or months or years or decades, remember, he does love them the same, but he's not going to redeem them from their sins while they're in their sins. So you have to love them and treat them just like you treat me. And love me. Well, maybe you better treat them better than you love me. And I don't know how much you love me, really, especially after tonight, if I've stepped on your toes. Anyway, please love them. Pray for them. They're your cousins, your relatives. We're all descendants of Adam, all descendants of Noah. It's all one big family. We're just messed up. Some of us remember what Dad said to do, and some of us don't. So the ones that don't, they need your prayers. They need your love. They need your guidance. They need your examples. They need you. So go out there and do your best. All right? Thank you very much.